Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey guys, can either of you give me a ride down to the unemployment agency?
I guess so, Patrick, but it's kind of a long drive. We'll have to take the highway.
Why do you need to go there anyway? Did you lose your job?
Oh no, I just have the six pack I want to drink.
It's day three of Springsteen week.
It is. We're right here in the middle on Wednesday.
Right here in the middle. We are talking about one classic Bruce Springsteen album per day leading up to Friday when a new Springsteen album will hit the stores, right? You'll be camped out at your record
That's
store.
That's right. Yeah. Power Records. I'll be out there.
That's right.
Rest in power.
But we're talking about five classic albums, one each day. We talked about Born to Run on Monday. Yesterday was Darkness on the Edge of Town. Today is The River, and River. I guess my first question for you guys, after I introduce myself, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us all the week are...
Intern Sam Lisker.
And I'm Mike Schneider.
All right. Thanks for having us, Mike.
Good to have you guys here.
My first question on this is, what is a Jackson Cage? Does anybody know that?
I do not know that.
I assumed the city was Jackson.
Is that what it
and
is?
The city was a cage, but I could be
I'm going to look that up while you guys
thought
talk.
That, I never thought about that.
That's an interesting
It's a great song, but
I'm going to find out.
Okay.
And you guys talk. What do you think about the river?
We go down to the river, and into the river we dive. Oh, down to the river we ride.
Real quickly, I'll say this about The River. This record is probably the closest to me because in 1981, that was the first time I ever saw Bruce Springsteen play. And thanks to the magic of the internet, I was able to narrow it down to August 5th, 1981 at the Capitol Center. Speaking of Rest in Power, I saw The River Tour, the third leg of The River Tour. And that was the first Springsteen concert I ever had gone to. I was a freshman in high school and went with a bunch of friends and never forgot it. It was probably the one that really indoctrinated me into the real magic and really, really fell hard for Springsteen during that time. And it was then that I went back and rediscovered The River and The Darkness and The Wild, The Innocent in the first album and just ate them up. You know, it's like when you find an author you love and you go through all their books and you're real upset at the end when there's no more left. But River is probably the one I listened to the most. Having said that, it's probably the most uneven of all the records we're talking about here. And I don't know. I feel so close to it that it's hard for me to kind of like criticize what I feel. But what about you, Mike?
It's funny. I have almost the same exact story.
Okay.
So I had just graduated from high school, and I saw the first leg of that tour.
Oh, wow.
In 1980.
Okay.
I think it's at 1980.
1980. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's right.
February 5th.
February. Okay.
At Kemper Arena. Well, it wasn't. I think it was. Yeah, it was Kemper Arena.
Wow.
And so this was the first Springsteen album I bought.
Okay.
Okay.
And
yep,
and
same
I.
Here.
I don't know why. Maybe it was because there were songs on the radio at this point, you know, and Hungry Heart obviously was on the radio.
We'll talk about that.
That's right.
And I really identified with his, this is really a blue collar album, and I was living in a blue collar town, and my birth father was a blue collar worker.
Oh, wow.
And now I'm in a small town, and I'm getting to the age where I'm seeing my friends are getting married, and maybe some of them are someone's pregnant or something, and things are happening. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, what's my plan? You know, and I'm like, I may be born to run because this could be a death trap. You know, and I hate to say that because it's a great little town when I go back and visit, but I don't think I was made for that place. So then I began, you know, I adopted this music. I went back. I really kind of went back to Born to Run and tinkered with the other stuff. But, you know, those three albums really filled me up for a while. But I began to, it affected my life and made me think about what am I going to do next or what's the future? And I need to take it serious. And that's how effective these songs were for me.
So touching on The River, what I think is so interesting about this album is it is Springsteen's only double LP, correct? This is the only double LP he's ever released, or at the time, was it the only double LP?
Yeah, that's right.
That's
I think when you get into this murky CD era, he's had some others that have been long enough to maybe be more than a single LP, but this was the only one that was intended to be a double studio album, yes.
Gotcha. So when I was reading the history of this album, so Springsteen originally wanted this album to only be one disc. And when he brought it to, I think, his producer, he said, no, you need to make this a double LP. There needs to be more jammed onto this record. And they wanted something that would transition nicely from Darkness. So a lot of the same themes that we discussed yesterday in Darkness also reappear in The River. It still has that edgy, gritty feel that embodies the Heartland rock and roll sound. And it still, again, has that darker side to it. And there are some just phenomenal tracks on it, both on disc one and disc two. That was the one that really made it off that album at the time. And The River, of course, the title track is fantastic. And also, going off what Mike was talking about, trying to figure out the life plan, there's a certain track on here called I Want to Marry You, mm-hmm. which is really interesting. It almost sounds kind of like rushed. Like, oh my gosh, I got to figure things out, and now I have to marry this person, and now I have to have a life, and now I have to do this and that, and it's kind of scary, too, and being now a 22-year-old, I have some friends, too, that have also gotten married now by this point, which I'm like, whoa, you know? I'm like, let's pump our brakes here for a bit. Yeah. This is really, really fast.
That is wise.
Yeah, so I can certainly feel with what that song is communicating and with what a lot of small town people certainly do go through. But yeah, overall, it's a great album. I think it's a little bit long, and I definitely do think it probably should have remained a single disc album, and then definitely maybe down the line they should have done a double LP to sort of honor it. Yeah, overall, I think it's a great piece of work.
I would like to say, you know, I really love the way this album starts. I mean, we talked about Darkness on the Edge of Town yesterday. It starts with a lot of action, a lot of driving songs you've got. Yeah. I mean, they really are four upbeat rockers in a row. You got The Ties That Bind, Sherry Darling, Jackson Cage, and Two Hearts. These are all boom, 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 boom songs.
Totally.
Before you kind of get a slower Independence Day coming up. I mean, so
yeah,
it's hard to, I mean, those are, it's just like a fastball's coming at you.
Totally. Totally agree. By the way, Jackson Cage apparently does refer to a place.
Although
there's some dispute on whether it's supposed to reference Jackson, New Jersey, or there's also a prison in Jackson, Michigan that some people think
would definitely be a cage. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you might be referring to. But that is the point about being stuck in some place, I guess. Mm. Yeah. But anyway. No, but Mike, you're exactly right. And I think to a lot of people, a lot of Springsteen fans in particular, what they really like about this album is it comes really close to capturing the live experience in the studio.
And that was part of the goal, he says. Yes, for sure.
Totally. I almost kind of feel in some ways like it's two records. Like they're like this to me, as much as I like a lot of the slow songs on here, and we'll get to some of those maybe a little bit later. To me, there's such a difference between the like upbeat songs and the slow songs that they almost kind of feel like they were shoehorned in.
Totally agree.
To some extent.
Yeah, it's jarring at times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't have the same kind of flow as some of the other albums do. But I will say, this album I came to very, very, very late in life. This is probably like the last Springsteen album I bought, I think.
Wow.
It was like, I don't know why I sat on this one. As I mentioned earlier, I got into Springsteen through Born in the USA. Then I went back and got Born to Run. Then I kind of kept up with his career from the 80s on, so like I got Tunnel of Love, and I kind of went through that whole period where he was doing all these kind of weird records without the E Street Band and stuff like that, and then The Rising, you know, and that was all triumphant, his return in some ways, and then I thought Magic was a really good record, and I kind of got all that stuff, and then I saw him live once in the 80s, but I saw him live again in the late 2000s, the Working on a Dream tour, and I was so incredibly blown away by that show. Then I was like, why don't I own all the Springsteen records? Like, what is wrong with me? Why don't I have these
exactly.
records? And so I went back and I got Darkness on the Edge of Town and The River, which I didn't have before. I think I had a Greatest Hits at some point, you know, that had like a lot of the other songs, like Badlands and stuff like that. To me, The River, it in some ways, I'm not going to say it's the best, but in some ways it might be my favorite just to listen to.
I think it's my
favorite
album.
Because every time I listen to it, there's such a sense of joy in this album. Joy for music, you know, and joy for life. And like it has this feeling of like that you just, as a listener, kind of feel alive listening to this record, you know?
Well, it goes so up and down. I mean, you and I were texting. I don't know if you were going to get to that line, you know, that you talked about in The River. Where, I mean, there's joy, but then there's the pits.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah, we got to get to that song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you want to get to it now?
Go ahead. Let's do it.
I'm trying to see if I can read it. This CD stuff is really small.
Yeah, and, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about with that text conversation. Two things that were interesting about that. But the first, Jim called it a gut punch.
You know, the line.
Oh, okay, I know what we're talking about now.
That really is, I think, you know, there's some lines in there that are a punch to the gut. You know, for my 19th birthday, I got a union card and a wedding coat,
right?
You know, and it's really interesting just from a personal perspective. Over this weekend before we were recording this, I was at a wedding and we were listening to The River on the way down there, and this all this wedding stuff, and but that line, you know, no flowers, you know, no ceremony, no right. cake, no right. no first dance and all that stuff. I mean, it's a totally harsh experience. I got Mary pregnant, man, and now my life's done.
That was all she wrote.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's all she wrote.
Yeah. I mean, it's like all of his dreams just vanish right in the air, you know, and he acts like he doesn't remember and Mary acts like she doesn't care. I mean, it's just, and he has these memories that kind of he lives for, you know, and that's about it. So, I mean, that is gut-wrenching. I mean,
to me, it's like a masterclass in songwriting. I mean, yeah, the way it takes you. You know, it starts off, you know, kind of languid, but then it like really goes dark. And really just based on this whole idea that just like one decision, what impact it has on the rest of your life.
That's right.
But then the song sort of comes back when you said it's about like sort of the power of memories.
Yeah, he says to he make remembered. You feel back.
I remember us riding in my brother's car, her body tan and wet down at the reservoir. At night on them banks, I'd lie awake and pull her close just to feel each breath she'd take.
Man.
Right?
Yeah, man.
But now those memories come back to haunt me.
Yeah.
They haunt me like a curse. And then here we go. Is a dream a lie if it don't come true, or is it something worse? Oh, man.
That's the punch.
Okay, we can't go on.
I need another beer.
We can't go on.
We need to go to whiskey at this point.
I mean. Right. But everybody, you know, who's lived can relate to that in some fashion.
Yeah.
You know, you may not have, it may not be as grand as this or whatever, but there's always that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have, in some ways, it's like that sort of a feeling of like, what if I had done this differently? Or what if I had done that differently? Or, you know, are the memories real? Or are the memories, or am I just retreating to that place because it makes me feel better now or whatever? And then to come back to reality. And what is that like? You know, there's so much in just those couplets, right?
So he is so authentic. And you know, the records we're talking about, you know, he was authentic in Born to Run, he was authentic in Darkness on the Edge of Town. These were stories you felt were really happening somewhere.
Yep.
And he does it again in over two albums, and you're like, this if you aren't a fan of Bruce Springsteen by now and he hasn't solidified his hooks in you, go away.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's done everything an artist could do to give you real stories with great three different levels of production, different kinds of production, you know, and then these live shows. I mean, what more could you do?
Yeah. That whole note, I'm sorry, I just got to get back to this again. That whole, like, when did you ever hear somebody tell you like that? In some ways, it might be bad to have dreams,
right?
You know what I mean? Like every listener always get is like that idea of like dream big, make these dreams come true, all of this kind of stuff. But this idea that like to not achieve your dreams might actually be a worse fate than if you didn't have them
exactly.
in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
What is that?
Gotta be real, man.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting too, just to really quickly cap that up, that the song is called The River because a river just continually goes on. And so it also makes you seem insignificant as a part of life, because even if your little dream doesn't come true, or even if it does, this big river is just going to keep going on.
Yep.
And it just does, you know, and all we can do is dive into it for a minute, you know, and have that pleasure. So looking back in hindsight, we know now that this album really is a true bridge, because there are songs that were written during the darkness period. There are songs that ended up on Nebraska, songs that feel very much like Nebraska, like Wreck on the Highway, and you know, some of those songs like Stolen Car and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, and this is another part of our research, when Mike and Jim and I were texting, Jim mentioned how much Steve Van Zandt's fingerprints are all over this record.
Oh.
And there's also this amazing, you know, mid-60s trashy kind of singles, you know, stuff that's all over this record that's so joyous and so funny and so crazy. Like,
so for a song like The River, which totally brings you down, you also got a song like Out in the Street.
Exactly.
Right? When that whistle blows down, I'm out in the street. I'm take off my work clothes.
Yeah.
You know, I walk the way I want to walk.
Yeah.
I talk the way I want to talk. It's like that. Yeah. I mean,
yes,
that's
right.
That infectious piano riff is totally amazing, and a clever, sly song like "You Can Look, But You Better Not Touch." Like there's a girl wiggling on the screen, but that's all right. I'm gonna ever get, man. I can look at it, and also to me, like "Sherry Darling" is just with those background vocals sounds like a crazy, you know, mid '60s Atlantic Records soul single where everyone's kind of in the studio all jumping around, and oh man, I gotta drive my mother-in-law to the unemployment agency every morning. Just tell her to shut up and move her big feet. Or she's got to walk back to the ghetto tonight or something like that. And then I got some beer and the highway's free, you know, and then there you go. So, yeah, to contrast those two things is quite remarkable. And I think, you know, like you were saying, Sam, that originally the vision was different and then, you know, all this stuff kind of came together. And it is really a hodgepodge. But I remember not a lot about that show in 81. One thing I do remember, though, and I'll credit Bruce for this, is that he played a cover of a Jimmy Cliff song called Trapped, and he did an amazing cover of that live. And since, you know, I've gone back and listened to it on bootlegs, but I gotta say, this is weird, man, but Springsteen is one of the reasons I got into reggae, because I had no idea who Jimmy Cliff was. Never crossed my mind. I didn't know who Bob Marley was. I had no idea there was this amazing Jamaican music. And when I was like, who the heck is Jimmy Cliff? And I found Jimmy Cliff, and then I found Bob Marley, and then from there I went to Lee Perry and all these things. So if it wasn't for Springsteen early on, I never probably would have gotten there when I did. So I give him amazing credit for that. And he was also playing Who'll Stop the Rain on that tour as well. Yeah. So it's all the feelings in this album. It really is. There's many feelings. Would I kick this one out of my top five for The Wild, The Innocent, and The East Two Shuffle? Maybe. But, I mean, it's like an impossible thing to think about. We talk about five in a row. We talk about big five. I love this record. I really do. And you know, you could make it a great single album, but, you know, it also has so much that you would leave out. But I do think if you put all the slow, sad songs together, it would be so crushingly heavy that you couldn't handle it.
That's right.
You would be crying.
That's right.
Yeah, we'd be laying in the gutter just weeping, you know, at our own lives. It would be so sad.
That's right. You're absolutely right. We only sort of touched a little bit on Hungry Heart, but that was a big hit single.
That was a top five
single.
That's right.
Originally written for the Ramones.
Yes.
He was going to give the song to the Ramones, and John Landau convinced him to keep it. Well, when you hear it now, you can sort of get that sense, like how that could be a Ramones song, right?
I would love to hear that, their version of that.
Oh, my God.
They never
amazing.
Did it. He didn't give it to them. It's the one case where he was convinced otherwise. Don't give away that song. That's a hit song. And it was. And I will say, though, that they speeded up his vocals or something on
it.
It doesn't quite sound like Bruce when you first hear it, but it's a great song that's become a live staple.
Yeah.
Now, even within the context of that being sort of a feel-good song and very popular, it does start off with a guy leaving his wife and family.
Jack. Yes. It really does.
Went out for a ride, never came back.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And you've also got the brilliance of Cadillac Ranch, you know, which is another incredibly clever song on this record. You know, speaking of Hungry Heart being a live favorite, like when you went to more and more Bruce shows, when you saw Clarence reach for the big saxophone, the really big one, you know, he was going to hit those really low notes on Hungry Heart, and that was going to be cool.
And what's so great about Cadillac Ranch is it's this electric track, and it's so much fun to listen to. And then you read between the lines, and then there's a message that's like, death is upon us all. And I'm like, well, I don't really know what to think of this track anymore. And Cadillac Ranch is a real thing. It actually does exist. It's that monument where all those cars are halfway in the ground. So I'm still trying to figure out how to connect it to the ranch itself, or if I'm supposed to separate the two. I don't quite know what I'm supposed to do there.
I'm not sure it's supposed to really reference that specifically.
Yeah,
I think it's just supposed to be a great car song.
Just
right?
a fun naming convention.
Burning down the highway like a big old dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so much life in this album.
Yeah.
But then there's even, like, you mentioned the 60s kind of stuff, too. There's Fade Away, which has that sort of old kind of sound
it really
to it.
Does.
Sounds like a classic sort of almost like a girl group kind of song or something, right?
Yeah. It's one of those lost, you know, at Phillies or Atlantic singles, you know, and a little bit of that Spectre stuff does come back here that he had on Born to Run, and it really does touch on his entire career.
And then one of my favorite songs that, again, it's like, where that's been all my life is Crush on You.
Yeah.
Because to me, again, you know, we talked about Adam Raised a Cane as like an example of where Bruce tried to do some like hard rock. This to me is the closest he comes to punk rock.
Yeah. There you go.
It totally sounds like a punk song, Crush on You.
Yeah, that thing rips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. There's so much in these 20 songs.
There really are. And, you know, one line that always haunts and sticks with me is when I listened to it recently, too, is I Want to Marry You. That lonely ribbon in your hair You know, am I the one for who you put it there, or whatever that line is, like, I want to marry you and save you from this desolation, but I don't know who you are. I've never met you. I've never talked to you. It's like,
that's terrifying.
You're just somebody I want to rescue.
So, yeah. Oh, so Mike, you have the Ties That Bind collection, right? That has like all the outtakes and everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a lot of those were on Tracks when he came out with the Tracks right. album. Right. There was a lot yep. of stuff. So to think that this was 20 songs and yet there's still like other songs
yeah.
that were recorded that didn't make the record. It's kind of amazing. I'm looking at the list here of the outtakes from those sessions. So Meet Me in the City.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like Out in the Street yeah. in a way, but it's one of those great, you know, let's go out and have a great time. We've yep. worked hard all week. Let's get out there and do that. You mm-hmm. know, it's one of those anthems to just like the weekend, right?
Yep.
And then what else is on here? Roulette, mm-hmm. Restless Nights, mm-hmm. Where the Bands Are. I mean,
that's a song. Great. So Roulette yep. was the first song he wrote in the midst, in the beginning of this album, he says. And then, you know, obviously the plan changes as the stuff collects and that ends up on this set.
I think Where the Bands Are is just a tremendous amazing. Song of the, you know, so mm-hmm. again, the joy of music. Living on the Edge of the World is a amazing. Rocking song. Mm-hmm. And then From Small Things, Big Things One Day Come.
That's an amazing
which
song.
He gave that song away, right?
Yeah, he did. To
Dave Edmonds.
Yeah, Dave Edmonds, that's right, who did a ripping version yeah. of it, yeah.
So there's I mean, this was an amazing, you know, fertile period in Bruce's career in terms mm-hmm. of songwriting.
Absolutely. And I think also, you know, a word for the fact that at this point, this was a band that was playing with so much intuitive connection that, you know, you could really honestly see, even if you didn't see the live show, one nod of Bruce's head or one slight change of his guitar and the whole band's tone could shift, you know, with the organ and the keyboards and the saxophone and just an amazing elastic rhythm section that had been, you know, literally must have played millions of hours together. And they do it all on this record and they handle it with aplomb, you know, shading and variations and then straight up ripping rock and roll and sly 60 stuff. They can do it all. And it's really obvious to see a band like probably at the super height of their powers at this point.
That's great. That's exactly right. Any thoughts on the album art? You like to critique the album art.
You know, I think it's interesting. You know, it's the cover probably doesn't say much except for the font is kind of cool. But then again, this theme of marriage that runs through this album and these sort of plastic figures on the, you know, cut out figures on the back. Can marriage save you or is it the ultimate, you know, a dead end, you know, in life is interesting. But also, I always love the, you know, the original record on the inside. They have all these sort of, you know, there's a collage and there's the band sort of hanging out in New York City, which I always thought is really cool. But I don't think of it as a New York City record. But
although it was recorded in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And then there's all these kind of snapshots, which I think is really cool. It was one of those ones you could really pore over while you're listening to these four sides of music. So I always love that about
also,
this album.
I think the mood of this record was happier because they had all those contract troubles, business troubles out of the way, man.
That's right.
Let's just go in the studio and just jam, right?
Mm-hmm. And selling out this tour and doing multiple nights in a lot of places and just really on top of their game, which is pretty amazing.
Okay. Favorite songs? Who wants to go first?
I can go first. I'm a big fan. I really like Cadillac Rock, like I mentioned earlier.
Cadillac Ranch.
Yeah,
Cadillac Ranch. My handwriting's so bad. It looks like rock the way I wrote it. Yeah, like I mentioned before, you know, electric song with a really deep message in it, but I think it just absolutely kills it on this album. It is so good.
There's a lot of good songs on this album, obviously, as we've been talking about. I think I probably would. The one that sticks with me is Drive All Night.
Baby, I swear I drive all night. is to buy you some shoes and to taste your tender charm. And I just wanna sleep tonight again in your arms. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And I don't know why. I mean, it's an 8-minute song, but it's just a. It's just a plea to someone that really just connects with me, and I don't know why. I just like it.
You've done a lot of night driving.
I used to drive a lot of night driving.
Yes,
I did. Yeah. I mean, songs like "Stolen Car" and "Highway Patrolman" and "Wreck on the Highway."
Yeah.
You know, really does. Those do stick with me. And about that time, I was driving a lot, so I listened to this many times driving from South Dakota to Kansas City.
There you go.
So,
for me, the best song is "The River."
I got a job working construction for the Johnstown Company, but lately there ain't been much work on account of the economy. Now all them things that seem so important, well, mister, they vanished right into the air. Now I just act like I don't remember. Acts like she don't care, but I remember us riding in my brother's car, her body tan and wet down at the reservoir. At night on them banks I'd lie awake and pull her close just to feel each breath she'd take. Those memories come back to haunt me, they haunt me like a curse. Is a dream alive?
I mean,
Stone Cold
it's so
killer,
funny,
man.
Because it feels in some ways out of place on this record. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. When I say, like, I listen to the album so much just to feel happy. Like, I feel like there's a real sense of happiness and joy overall in this record. But I really can't get enough to listen to that song. Every time I hear that song, I gotta listen to it like intently.
Yeah,
you know, it actually might be my favorite Springsteen song of all.
Oh wow, yeah. That's really interesting. Hard to argue with that. I mean, it's right up there as a monument to his career. I'll probably, you know, just go with "Sherry Darling" just because I think it's so fun and so clever, and I just love that song. I just think it's just awesome, and I like beer and the highway. So,
beer and the highway's free. You got me.
Yeah.
You
know? I can't tell you how many hours of my life I've been eating up just driving around aimlessly, you know, trying to think of ways to get girls to talk to me and listening to the Springsteen.
Well, and it sounds like
Bruce.
Sounds like it's being played live almost, doesn't it?
It really does.
And
but those background vocals and all the whooping and hollering, it's an awesome tune.
He said he wanted to make songs that sound like a bar band could play these, and
totally.
That one definitely was probably the pinnacle of that goal
it's
on this album.
Got a super hooky chorus too.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I feel better today.
Yes.
Than yesterday. This is. I'm feeling good now. Tomorrow, though, we're going to take another darker turn. Right.
No, Springsteen was so damn depressing.
Who's going to sit on the electric chair?
That's right. So tomorrow we're going to talk about Nebraska.
Oh yeah.
But before we do that, let's just mention that you should be listening pretty frequently.
Every day.
Every day. You can find us on all the big podcast platforms. Let us know what you think about this era of Springsteen music, the river and whatnot. You can call. We'd like you to call 612-440-1984. Yeah, call that. You leave a message and then we put your voice on an upcoming episode. I'm hoping we get a lot of good correspondence out of this
too.
And we can
too.
Do some really quality follow-up.
Intern Matt would appreciate it too.
Yeah.
Some good follow-up episodes on this. You can, if you prefer, you can write us by emailing rock@suburbspod.com or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at suburbspod. Oh, support the show. Go to patreon.com/suburbspod and support the show and help it keep going. And you get some bonus stuff, extra stuff like the videos that we're recording here.
Exactly.
Where
guys.
You can see us. Mm-hmm. There we go. Yeah. So you can see us talking and drinking. And then also visit suburbspod.com.
Do that.
Please.
Sam does such a great job keeping that.
He does.
A vibrant piece of work. And you can find all the past episodes there, and you can find, you can search by like artist or song. You can find lots of stuff that you might be looking for. Anything you're interested in, you can do that. Also on the website, you can sign up for our newsletter.
That's right.
Yes.
I forgot about our good old newsletter. It's action packed.
The newsletter is one of my favorite things that we do now.
It's a lot of fun.
It really is fun. So once
guys
a week.
Guys got to get in on this.
Yeah. It's free. You just put in your email address and you get the newsletter every Friday is what we're hoping.
That's right. We're aiming for that.
Yes. And it'll give you sort of a recap of the week that was, which is a great way, I think, if you're just getting into the show, sign up for the newsletter, because then you'll get a sense of like, what are the shows that we just did or are coming up, and something might catch your eye that you're interested in, or you can pick and choose from there. So I think that's a great way to just sort of get a sense of what we do. And then we also have stuff like what we're listening to.
Yep.
We have the new releases for the week, a little roundup there.
That's great.
We started adding tour dates for some of the past guests of the show.
Mm-hmm. So I like that a lot.
That's really cool.
Just all kinds of fun little stuff, right?
Yeah, it's outstanding. We'll pick out an episode from the archives for you. Yeah. So it really is just like a wonderful cornucopia of suburbs podness. And I love that new release corner. It really cuts through the clutter to stuff you got to listen to.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, I really like putting that together. And I will say, after we've done 600 plus shows, I think maybe it helps some people to sort of get pointed to certain shows maybe they should go back and revisit or hadn't heard before.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So that's cool. All right, let's go. Tomorrow, Nebraska. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm intern Sam.
And I'm Mike Schneider.
All right, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey guys, can either of you give me a ride down to the unemployment agency?
Start over. Why'd you stop in the middle of the word?
Obviously, he doesn't have a job.
Unemployment agency.
All right, start over. Take two.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hold on.
He's cracking himself up.
All right. Hold on. We can use this at the end of the movie for the bloopers.